The ultimate question is leadership to do what? The U.S. led in Iraq. The result? Destruction of a country, sectarian war, mass civilian casualties, creation of multiple insurgent terrorist groups, slaughter of minority religious communities, was a humanitarian and a strategic disaster. The U.S. led for 2 decades in Afghanistan, for no good reason, attempting to create a strong central government and Western-style democracy where none had previously existed. The U.S. claimed to lead in Yemen, promising to limit civilian casualties while providing the self-aggrandizing Saudi royals with everything necessary to wreak death and destruction upon the Yemeni people. The U.S. spent decades leading against Iran, helping to overthrow a democratically elected government, aiding a neighboring dictatorship's aggressive war against Tehran that killed 1 million-plus people, shooting down an Iranian airliner, and many other examples of U.S. terror against Iran. Today, the neocons and the rest of the war party define leadership as defending rich allies, rebuilding failed states, creating enemies faster than they can be killed, starving peoples to hurt their leaders, supporting aggressive war in the name of humanity, and intervening everywhere against everyone for anything. No wonder even America's friends have grown leery of its leadership. Washington now even acts against longtime allies. Those which refuse to accept U.S. leadership and enforce America's will are punished as enemies. To start, every sanction is secondary as the war lobby abuses America's financial dominance to conscript others in Washington's endless economic crusades. Worse, supposed friends become official targets. For instance, Washington punished Germany for building a natural gas pipeline to Russia because the U.S. said doing so is not in Berlin's interest. Many Germans suspect that Washington's feigned solicitude is primarily a ploy to force Europe to purchase more American natural gas. Hence, global leadership at its most cynical. No country poses a serious conventional threat to America. NATO is welfare for European states which can't be bothered to use their own resources, collectively 11 times the economic power and 4 times the population to defend against Russia. Indeed, Moscow couldn't easily digest Georgia and Ukraine if it invaded them. Militarily, China threatens U.S. influence in East Asia, not the homeland. A huge difference. Even the worst neocon fantasies don't project Chinese invasion fleets advancing on Los Angeles and Seattle. In essence, Washington fears losing its ability to coerce China nearly 8,000 miles away, not defend America from Chinese aggression. The challenge posed by Beijing is principally other than military. In particular, the U.S. did not want Eurasia dominated by any one power, especially an adversary of America. American leadership requires Washington to do for others what they should be doing for themselves, such as providing for their defense. The U.S. is also one of the chief offenders against free trade. Even today, Washington routinely supports tyranny abroad. Egypt, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates are just 4 regimes that America backs almost unreservedly. Moreover, the U.S. is often callous and cruel. For instance, the now pervasive use of sanctions appears to be mostly a continuing attempt to signal virtue than achieve anything practical. Officials like former Ambassador Jim Jeffrey, who admitted misleading Trump to keep Americans entangled in the Syrian imbroglio, appear to get cruel pleasure from immiserating an entire population to turn it into a geopolitical quagmire for other states. Never mind the millions of innocent people who suffer along the way. So far, most sanctions have failed to achieve their purported policy ends. Indeed, the Trump administration's multiple maximum pressure crusades were a stunning debacle. Targeting individual malefactors proved emotionally satisfying, but had no practical impact. The only possible foreign conclusion was that Trump's sanctions policy was being implemented by fools, idiots, or both. He did a fine, if inadvertent, job of undermining American credibility worldwide. And then there are America's many wars. In Yemen, even the State Department warned that top U.S. officials risked being charged as accomplices to war crimes by aiding the vile Saudi dictatorship's aggressive war. Indeed, Yemeni civilians call it the Saudi-American War. In Libya, the Obama administration lied about humanitarian threats to win United Nations Security Council approval for what became a regime change operation on the cheap. Muammar Gaddafi was a dictator, but committed no civilian massacres, and his widely cited threats were directed against armed opponents, not civilians. The result of U.S. intervention was an added decade of civil war, including another battleground for Daesh. Most horrific was Iraq. Set aside the thousands of dead and tens of thousands of wounded Americans, victims of lies and manipulated intelligence. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, estimates begin at about 200,000 and range well above a million, were killed. Millions were displaced. Religious minorities were targeted, murdered, kidnapped, enslaved, raped, and driven from their homes. Al-Qaeda in Iraq was spawned, mutating into ISIS. The country was ravaged.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the pit.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
his help.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls.
Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. How you are doing? Welcome to Youth Station, broadcasting from IRIB English Radio Station. I am Brother Habib, and she, the one that started, because you know, ladies first.
He doesn't believe in that, bro.
Yes, sisters.
As youth, I think.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, you're youth. That's something new. All right, go ahead, sister. Yes.
Yes, we're youth. Thank you very much. I do hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, the passport says so, but then you can't rely on passports anymore. Yeah. I feel that because we're living in such a sicko world.
Okay.
And everything is so...
You mean feel like we're in the Joker movie.
I know.
Oh,
and everything is constantly changing and evolving, and sometimes not for the... right reasons,
right?
As youth, we need to develop a protecting shield for ourselves.
Okay.
And I feel that that shield is du'a.
You feel? Okay. What if it was something else?
So what do you think is the du'a that us as youth should be making for ourselves?
The youth, not us as youth, the youth... I think that really just understanding what is youth and what do youth need during these days, understanding that will give you a better picture of what we should be doing du'a. Because what is du'a?
What is du'a?
It's asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what you need, for what you want, what you desire, what you crave. The best du'a will be to understand what the youth need for the future. I personally think that there are two things. First of all, your situation, your time, your era, the things that the youth need during their time.
Mm.
Then there's also that every youth needs throughout time.
Individually.
Yeah. And looking at it, currently we need people with a lot of knowledge. Especially fighting, for example, the global pandemic, fighting global warming, fighting, all
just
these...
Just the global.
Yeah, the global fights that we have.
Yeah.
We are slowly growing old and closer to our graves. We need the youth to, move in.
So, dude, you're not even 25.
I've lived the life of an old person.
He has. But I need to put this out there. This man isn't even 25, you guys. And he speaks as if he's like 75-year-old veteran with grandchildren running
around.
Has been
two old wars.
Yeah, exactly. He's not.
Anyway, so looking at that, the youth need to open their hands and dua for knowledge, for gaining knowledge, opening the doors of knowledge.
What's more important than knowledge?
Nothing. Other than that, experience.
Which you can't have as a youth.
You can't have as a youth. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors for you.
Yeah. So you ask him for the
opportunities to open. Yeah. And, knowing what to do and what not to do.
Exactly.
Needs knowledge.
Yeah, because knowledge is when you're given the situation to gain the experience, if you don't have knowledge, you'll look like a total, beep. So it's really important to seek knowledge and pray for knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we are living, albeit we're living in the age of information and technology and quote-unquote knowledge, so much of this information that we receive is just bupkis, It's total and absolute baloney. And I feel that we need to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us filter the information that we receive, to pick and choose the best one that is mostly going to serve our akhirah.
Exactly. Another thing,
a lot of this stuff, we receive on TikTok and Instagram doesn't serve our dunya or our akhirah.
All right. And the second thing that really just pops up to the mind is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not fall into peer pressure and to have good friends. Because friends, whether you like it or not, they're going to change your life. They're going to change the way you think. They're going to change where you are. They're going to change... And there's that quote that they put on Instagram, TikTok, the things that you follow, you follow. How do you know them? Anyway, these things that you follow, there's this clip that you want me to tell you if you're successful or not. Show me your friends.
Yeah.
And really, the group that you follow, the way that you interact, the way that you waste that precious, precious time. You don't realize how precious it is until you become gray-haired. Mm. When you look at yourself, I'm going to be 30 years old soon. And 70 years is the average age. 80 years is the average age. So like half of my life has already been finished. You just think of it. What have I done?
But, you know, in all honesty, the first 20 years of our lives barely count. Well, the first 10 years, literally.
They are the most important things. They're the base of our life. They're the base of our life. What are you talking about? Especially in your teens.
No, first 10 years matters, Jack. Okay?
First 10 years, it's in your parents' hands.
It's in
your parents'
hands.
And
the second 10 years.
The second 10 years, it's in your hands. It's what you love, what you
want. As a boy, up till 15, even Allah doesn't count you as anything yet. Up till 15, Allah doesn't count. Never mind him, guys. And then from 15 till 20, you are riddled as a human, as a human being, as a youth, as an adolescent, with hormones, breakouts. You're going through that awkward phase of the body changing and the mind changing and kind of trying to discover, figure out what you are, not even who or what I'm doing here or why
I'm. Ask you a question. Did you find out who you are?
No, did you?
Yes, I did, alhamdulillah.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
When I was 15.
As if.
Yeah.
Anyway, so another thing that I really find it important to pray for, first you said gaining knowledge, which is super duper important. The second one is praying for good friends, which to a great extent, I feel like our parents should have been praying for that for us as well.
Yes.
And creating the groundwork for it, you know? And the third thing that I feel we should be praying for as Muslim youth is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to constantly put us on the path of steadfastness.
All right.
As a true follower of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Because these are tricky times. You know, it's really important for us to constantly pray for our husnul khatama or a good fate. You know, there's good faith and then there's good fate. And funnily enough, good faith doesn't always lead to good fate. You could be a good person for many years and then have a slip up and then die a not good person.
Yes.
I.e. Talha and Zubair.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
For all those who are listening and are now confused, please read some history.
Okay. Now, you personally, what are the things that you wished you were, when you were a youth, you would have prayed for? Personally speaking. Because no one knows about you anyway, so...
Not really, they don't.
Yeah, so just, you know, throw something out.
Okay, so I wasn't really praying for a really long time. And then when I did start praying, that's what I prayed for. I prayed that may Allah never allow me to slip away or drift away from the path of the Ahlul Bayt. Because I feel like this is the only thing that can anchor me and ground me and save me no matter what kind of mess I get myself into.
From the way you spoke, I felt like you get in a mess every single day. Anyway.
The confused expression on Brother Habib's face just keeps intensifying.
Yes, yes, every single day.
Yeah, what did you pray for as a youth still?
What I prayed for, it was for, you know...
Because, guys, he's not even 25.
Yeah, things that I wish that... that I still actually... There are some things that I actually still pray for to this day. Still haven't been, you know, happening. And there are things that I wish I... could have put my energy towards something better.
Like what?
Some of my friends.
Ah. Oh.
Yes.
Yeah, but then again, I mean, to go through that to gain the experience.
Yeah, and then there's also the fact that when I, you know, there was that responsibility on my shoulders that was keeping me down to ground, you know.
True.
It made me think like an adult.
True.
You know, you have to think that you have to pay the rent, you have to do this, you have to do that. So you keep on praying, and in my situation, you need
to
go
through that.
And there were times where I used to pray for Liverpool. Now I don't pray for them anymore.
Even though
I still support them, I don't pray for them anymore anyway.
There are a bunch of other things that youth should definitely pray for. I mean, these are the three fundamentals, maybe, from our perspective. Y'all could be thinking that, no, other things are more important. Praying for a good spouse is also very important.
Yes, but usually they don't think about that unless they, you know, are ready for marriage. And then they start to think. But maybe one should...
Yeah, you should always pray for that because it literally says in the hadith when that Allah favors a servant, He gives them knowledge of religion and a good companion, a good spouse, life companion.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, life companion.
So,
if the spouse was a life companion.
Inshallah, that's what I'm saying. Pray that your spouse is a life companion and that they help you in your spiritual growth toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, I want to finish off our show.
Yeah.
By guiding you to a couple of supplications.
That's what I wanted to ask you.
And I think that, first of all, keep in mind that we have books that have been collected by great scholars and ulama such as Ibn Tawus, Al-Kaf'ami, Sheikh Abbas Al-Qummi. They're out there. They're well known. And you could go and review them. I think many people, many Shias, know about Sahif al-Sajjadiyya. They've at least heard about it. You know, if they're following RIB, they know that a couple of great scholars have been giving explanations on them in English here. But there's also something very important. And
what?
That is, we have a book.
A book?
Most important book after the Holy Quran for me.
Usul al-Kafi.
Usul al-Kafi. And Al-Kafi, not only Usul al-Kafi, but also Furu' al-Kafi and Rawdat al-Kafi.
Mm-hmm.
Al-Kafi altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Sheikh al-Kulayni is not a simple person. Rahmatullah alayhi.
Of course, of course.
And he has this chapter in Usul al-Kafi called Kitab al-Dua.
Interesting.
Over there, you learn about dua. What is dua? The importance of dua. When to do dua. How to do dua. Then you have the doors of supplications. Dua for rizq. For wealth, dua for health, dua for this, dua for that. And then there's also like this chapter where the short dua that have to do with everything, and they are the sources one of the strongest sources.
Can we just say Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati
hasana? There's also those, you know, yeah, but sometimes you have to be precise. You know?
Yeah, God does that. Pray for a degree, pray for your kids, pray for a house, pray for a good spouse, pray for knowledge, pray for money, pray for good health, pray for your parents, pray for your Muslim brothers and sisters, pray for the hosts of Youth Station and the cast and crew. I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator. My Alpha and Omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, justice, forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and may God Almighty accept your fasting in the blessed month of Ramadan. We now present you a short but sweet supplication to God Almighty at the time of breaking the fast by Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, the first infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. O Allah, we have fasted for you and open it with the food provided by you. Accept it from us. Indeed, you are the all-hearing and the all-knowing. Thank you.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The light.
People around the world dream of having special weddings, but these couples in Russia have made their wishes come true. 30 couples in Moscow have gotten married on cable car cabins, hoping to set a world record. The sweethearts exchanged vows mid-air with a picturesque view of rainy Moscow. If the attempt to set a record is verified and confirmed, it will go to the Guinness Book of World Records. The wedding ceremony in Russia has turned into an extraordinary one as it was celebrated on a 720-meter-long cable car. 30 Russian couples tied the knot in the moving cable car cabins on Saturday. Even rainy weather in Moscow didn't stop them. The newlyweds said they wanted to make their already special day as unusual as possible. They also hoped that their mass wedding would set a Guinness World Record. The remains of 9 Neanderthals have been found near the Italian capital, Rome. Archaeologists believe the oldest one is dated to around 100,000 years ago. The other 8 remains are dated between 50,000 and 68,000 years ago. Researchers unearthed the fossil fragments in the Guattari prehistoric cave, or caves I should say, near Rome. Neanderthals are the closest ancient relatives of humans. They died out about 40,000 years ago. Some theories say they died because of their inability to adapt to climate change.
Thousand drones have lit up the sky of a northwestern Russian town in a dazzling show commemorating the country's victory in World War II. The drones flew in formation and displayed images related to the deadliest war in history. The show ended with a giant dove of peace flying above mesmerized spectators. Russia commemorates its victory day on May the 9th every year. There is also an annual parade which the authorities decided to postpone due to the coronavirus pandemic. Humans have used the services of honeybees for centuries. Now, Dutch scientists have found a way to get help from these small animals in detecting the coronavirus. Let's have a listen.
We take the bees from a honeybee keeper here in the region, and we use a set of bees every day, and we put those bees in harnesses to fix them and then we present coronavirus positive and coronavirus negative samples. And after presenting a positive sample, we always present sugar water afterwards. So in the end, the bees extend their proboscis after being presented a coronavirus positive sample. And in that way, we can train bees pretty quickly.
The bees indicate a positive COVID-19 result by extending their tongue to drink a reward of sugar water. Using these insects as coronavirus testing tools can significantly shorten the time spent on waiting for the result of a COVID diagnosis. It can also be very important in countries where there is not enough infrastructure and testing. Bees have an unusually strong sense of smell. They have already been used in some parts of the world to detect explosives and toxins.
A recently installed pizza-making machine is pitting itself against masterful chefs in the Italian capital, Rome. The tall red machine has become a head-turner in the city, which is famous for its pizza, one of Italy's most iconic traditional dishes. The customers get to choose among four types of pizzas plus a drink. A few minutes after placing your order, you will receive the dish on a platter fresh out of the oven. But Italians say the pizza cannot compete with those made traditionally.
The true pizza is made from a wood oven. I wouldn't even take into consideration eating a pizza from a machine.
So far, the reception from people has been far from favorable. However, some say the final product can be acceptable considering its price or if you are in a hurry. As many countries accelerate their coronavirus vaccination programs, life is gradually getting back to normal. Now, residents of a nursing home in the Spanish capital, Madrid, finally get a chance to go out after months of isolation. Around 50 elderly residents and staff from two care homes went on an excursion to the Madrid Zoo after they were vaccinated against COVID-19. They visited some of the park's inhabitants, from pandas to elephants, while sitting on a miniature train. They hailed the idea, saying they were bored with staying at the nursing home with no visitors.
It's good to leave, to break the monotony of the nursing home, especially as we have been confined there for so long. It's nice to get outside, so I decided to go out and see the world.
The director of the care home believes the experience makes the residents forget about their pains. Around 43,000 seniors died of COVID-19 during the first wave of the pandemic in Spain. The elderly population was among the first group to receive coronavirus vaccines in the country. Now, looking for a cheaper and more sustainable alternative to traditional lawn mowers. Ship may be the answer. Researchers at the University of California, Davis, have embarked on a project to test the effectiveness of sheep as new lawn mowers. The project includes 25 sheep of four different breeds. They are going to graze on a one-acre plot of pasture for 3 days. The process will be repeated after a month.
The sheep have been used for a couple of things. So they're as good as goats in reducing down the vegetation. So in areas where there is, it doesn't just have to be a lawn. If they're in their areas where there's overgrown and you've got sort of those higher fuel ladders, they can eat that down. But what they also do, so they can cut that out, but then they also can come around, and after there's been a fire, they're really good at eating the weeds that come up initially, the weeds that we don't want, those invasive weeds.
Researchers believe that the initiative also has an environmental impact. With fewer mowers, there might be less emission. They also hope using sheep will help increase natural fertilization and nutrient levels.
The light is a short bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Over the past few years, people have become more aware of the detrimental effect of littering to the environment. Bolivians have launched a nationwide campaign aimed at protecting the country's scenic spots and waterways from human waste. Hundreds of volunteers were seen cleaning up the Valley of the Souls near La Paz, which is famous for its unusual razor-sharp rock formations. The volunteers, aided by heavy machinery, managed to collect over 15 tons of plastic waste and construction rubble from the rocky canyon. Activist Carola says people needed to speak up more in defense of the nature, which is increasingly coming under threat.
It is incredible how we can find jewels like this painting amid all these piles of rubble and garbage, and we are surprised and ask what is going on with nature. It is a tourist place where many people come. The Valley of the Souls is very special, and many people have gathered together here to be a voice for nature and to get it the care and respect it deserves.
Last month, the campaign also cleared the highland lake of Uru in western Bolivia, which is said to be full of more plastic than water. Campaigners say they will continue their efforts until no place with garbage is left in the country. An exhibition in the Belgian province of Wallon-Brabant has put on display several objects belonging to French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte. A belt with the word Waterloo written on it, a flintlock pistol, Napoleon's shoe, bathtub, clothes, and several other objects are all displayed in the exhibition. Many of the items are brought from Napoleon's last residence on St. Helena Island. The curators say the exhibition aims to show Napoleon's daily life and the way he lived. Earlier this week, an auction was set up in France offering Napoleon's blood-stained cloth, estimated to be sold for $18,000. May 5th marks the 200th anniversary of Napoleon's death. People always try to find new ways to connect and support each other at the moment of crisis. A young Indian is one such example who is saving lives by providing free oxygen to coronavirus patients. 32-year-old Shanawaz Sheikh is a resident of India's commercial hub, Mumbai. He launched the campaign during the first wave of the pandemic when his friend's cousin died of COVID-19 on the way to hospital. Now popularly known as Oxygen Man, Shanawaz sold his car last June and used the money to buy oxygen cylinders for those in need. He and his team have now set up a control room to deliver oxygen to patients. They send the cylinder as soon as they receive a call from a COVID patient or a family.
Without oxygen, a patient can't live. They need it very badly, even in the ambulance on the way to hospital. If Shanawaz wasn't helping, patients would likely not even make it to hospitals. They would die on the way.
Shanawaz says his team helped nearly 5,000 people during the first wave of the pandemic last year and is planning to help as many as possible during the second wave. His initiative is earning him much praise on social media, with many calling Shanawaz and his team real heroes during the crisis.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Rabbitu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Let's set the topic of today's special under the title of Recommended Prayer.
أرجو رضاك يا الله أنت الرحيم يا الله هبني عطاك يا الله أنت الكريم ومنك العطاء يا الله أنت العظيم يا الله فيك الرجاء يا الله أنت الحليم
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان
الرحمن الستار ملك الملك الغفار الوهاب المنان المتعال.
Today, Tuesday, is the 28th of Ramadan, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 25th of Urdibehesht, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of May, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter Al-Isra, verses 78 to 79 from the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Aqimis salata lidulukish shamsi ila ghasaqil layli wa qur'an al-fajr. Inna qur'an al-fajr kana mashhuda.
Establish prayer at the decline of the sun from its meridian until the darkness of the night, and also the Quran of dawn. Indeed, the recitation of dawn is ever witnessed.
وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ عَسَىٰ أَن يَبْعَثَكَ رَبُّكَ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا.
And from part of the night, pray with it as additional worship for you. It is expected that your Lord will resurrect you to a praised station.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The Quran implies that this is an additional program. In addition to the compulsory daily prayers, this schedule has also been designated for you. The Quran concludes this spiritual and heart-transforming divine program as, maybe in the light of this act, the Lord elevates you in rank to the position of the eligible and well-praised one. The post-prayer supererogatory devotional acts. Prayer means presence in the court of God and participation in the spiritual banquet to which God has invited His servants. Just as attendance to a party has come preliminaries and protocol, the same is true in discharging divine obligation. Prior to the arrival of the time of prayer, our infallible imams, peace be upon them all, used to prepare themselves for it. And after the prayer, they also used to engage in other post-prayer devotional acts, such as the remembrance of Allah, hymning His praises with their faces toward the Qibla. Were they not considering prayer as the apple of their eye? Heedless to post-prayer devotional acts and supplications is a sign of lack of interest to the prayer itself. As recorded in the Hadith, going early to the mosque and waiting for the commencement of prayer have been encouraged and enjoyed, while the person waiting for the prayer has been described as guest of Allah. performance of supererogatory acts and supplications after the prayer is also recommended.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Greetings, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to IRIB English Radio Station. You guys are listening to today's special. Today's supplication was for the 28th day. Yes, we have been fasting for 28 days. And some people might be happy that we're exiting the holy month of Ramadan. No, don't be happy. The doors are going to get closed of blessings. These doors that open only in the month of the holy month of Ramadan. Allahumma waffir hadhi fihi min al-nawafil. Oh Allah, on this day, decide for me a share of the super category acts, the recommended acts, those acts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, likes, but not an obligation to do. Praying, you know, praying two extra rak'ahs, you know, doing tasbih, doing tahleel, reciting the Quran extra, and of course, doing nawafil is just a sign of a person being a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each action has its own, you know, reward in it. These rewards could be worldly rewards, they could be rewards for the afterlife. There is actually a book with the title Thawab al-A'mal and Aqab al-A'mal by Sheikh al-Saduq, and the literal translation is the reward of actions and the punishment of actions. And there you could see the various rewards of doing various actions. If you recite this verse, this will happen, this is the reward, that is the reward. Saying 100 times, La ilaha illallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do this and do that. Reciting Surah Inna Anzalnahu, reciting Surah Al-Kawthar, for example. Doing good for your neighbors and whatnot. All these actions are stated over there. Ramadan.
رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران رمضان يا رمضان يا نفحة الرحمن رمضان يا رمضان شهر جود وغفران.
Supererogatory prayers or nafila. Apart from daily obligatory prayers with 17th rak'ats, there are also other recommended prayers, or mustahab prayer, which have abundant towards. And since these prayers are additions to obligatory prayers, they are called nafila. This is a state in a hadith that nafila prayers are like a gift and are accepted under all circumstances. Notwithstanding all the emphasis and encouragement about the performance of recommended or mustahab prayers, they must be said on the basis of interest and love, and a person must not impose them on himself. In the beginning, he has to acquire mental readiness as well as interest of heart. Then he should perform them. Perform the act of worship when the heart is willing. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, has said, sometimes hearts are willing and ready, while at other times they are not. Perform the act of worship when the heart is willing. For this reason, there are some leniences in optional prayers. This ease is meant to attract more people to perform recommended prayers. Some of these leniencies and facilities are the following. One of them is this. One may perform the recommended prayer standing or sitting. One may only recite Surah Al-Fatiha and then proceed to Ruku. One's doubt whether he is in his first or second rak'ah does not render the prayer invalid, and he may freely evaluate which rak'ah he is in. It is better for the worshipper to go to the mosque to perform obligatory prayers, but for recommended prayers, there is no such injunction.
الصوم أوشك يبتدي رمضان يا ضيف الورى قد زرتنا في الموعد كنا على جمر الغضا من واله ومفند رمضان يا ضيفا أتى يجلو لنا القلب الصدي.
Now, of course, one of the nawafil that has been greatly emphasized by in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt alayhum as-salam is the 34 rik'ats, the 8 after salat the 8 before salat al-dhuhr, before salat al-asr, the 4 after salat al-maghrib, the 2 while sitting down after salat al-asha, the 8 and the 3 after midnight salat al-layl. These are the nawafil that have been greatly emphasized in the sayings of Ahlul Bayt, especially Salatul Layl, especially Salatul Layl, especially Salatul Layl. Praying at night when the people are asleep, praying at night where usually people are asleep because, you know, we have night owls nowadays. And at that time, where it's usually the time for resting, it's usually the time to relax, to fall asleep, there are worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are worshipping, who are crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the eyes of Allah, these people are considered to be greatly close. They will be greatly rewarded. And this concept is very vast. It's very long. There are many various deeds that we can reach. Yet there are some actions that, you know, can be considered recommended and close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are easy to do. Stating La ilaha illallah, just, you know, when walking, you're outside, you're walking, you're doing nothing, you're walking. And you have to, for example, do your chores, which is like pick up milk from the supermarket or whatever. So just say La ilaha illallah. Just say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Just recite Surah Al-Kawthar. These things will slow. They're like a spark. They will cause a fire. This fire will cause a blaze. This blaze will cause, you know, I'm not going to say hell, but, you know, cause a lot of fire. And that fire is like the light. You start off with a small spark, then that spark becomes a big light. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in this holy month to do these actions, what is left in these 2-3 days. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid us in accepting our fast, by accepting our worships in this holy month. Thank you guys for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special, this episode of today's special. May Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah. Oh.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.